This is a Building Resilience Podcast, episode 194, The Art of Doing Nothing. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Building Resilience Podcast. Can you believe that we are in the month of September? We're heading into the fall. I can't believe how quickly that summer flew by. Just a reminder that today is actually the last day to sign up for the Advanced Training in Nervous System Resilience. We get started in a couple weeks. It is a very intensive and immersive training and experience, transformational. I promise you, it is life-changing. So sign up for that if you're inclined. If you have any questions, please reach out. And let's move on to today's topic. Are you a Seinfeld fan? Now, if you are like me, perhaps years ago, you set aside your Thursday night. You watched Friends 8:30 and then Seinfeld at 9. I was in Eastern time zone. That was me. We often got together with other friends. It was also very common for Seinfeld lines and examples to just show up in everyday conversations. And what I find funny is still to this day, it happens. I hear my kids referencing certain Seinfeld episodes. I use Seinfeld episodes in my trainings and teachings. So there is a scene with Elaine and her then boyfriend, Putty. They are on a plane and they are in a fight. The poor guy next to them, they refer to him as vegetable lasagna. But Elaine and Putty, they break up and then they get back together all within the same flight. And after they make up, Elaine pulls out a book and Putty just settles in and stares ahead. And Elaine asks him if he's going to read a book or something. He says no. She asks him if he's going to have a nap. And he says no, and he just keeps staring. And you see her getting more and more irritated as he just stares ahead. She's clearly annoyed at him doing nothing. So she gets frustrated with him and breaks up with him again. It's a very funny scene, but I think it highlights something. And maybe it highlighted something for me and for many others and not for some, but it highlighted the challenge we have with doing nothing. Now, again, you may not have this or even resonate with what I'm talking about, but if you have spent any time in Team Hyper, you will likely know what I'm talking about. The need to be doing something, the doing in our life as opposed to the being, the busyness, the status we assign to being busy or being productive. And even if you don't attach status to it, there's an addictive quality we have to doing things and how hard it is for many of us to do nothing. And what does nothing even look like? Now, this has personally been a big challenge for me. I shared this with you a while back on an episode called Slow It Down. And as I was preparing for this episode, I wondered, is it going to be too similar to my Slow It Down episode? But I decided I wanted to focus on more than just slowing down, because maybe you have been working on slowing down, but can you take it to the next level? Can you just do nothing? Can you practice the art of doing nothing? And did you know that there is a term for it? It is called niksen. Now, niksen is a Dutch term that translates to doing nothing. It is a practice of taking conscious time to simply be without any specific goal or activity. Now, it's different from some of the other activities I talked about in Slow It Down, things like other relaxation techniques or mindfulness practices, because niksen doesn't actually involve focusing on the present moment or controlling your breathing or meditating. Instead, it is about letting your mind just completely wander freely and do nothing at all. And I looked up a little bit of the background about niksen, and I learned that it has its roots in Dutch culture, and it's a culture that often emphasizes a very balanced lifestyle and the importance of leisure. Now, it's a concept that seems to be becoming more popular. Some say it is very similar to the Danish hygge, which there is a book about it that I am not quite through, but hygge is often referred to the art of being comfortably cozy and finding joy in the everyday. And it's spelled Hydge. And I was very confused about how am I going to pronounce this? So I reached out to my brother, who actually speaks Danish. Him and his wife are living in Denmark currently. And he told me it is pronounced hygge. So hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. But the core ideas are all around well-being and coziness and warmth and safety and intimacy and gratitude. So it is a little bit different to Nixon, and it will likely get a whole podcast on its own, because I think these concepts are things we need to be reminded of pretty frequently, at least I do. And again, it reflects a broader appreciation for rest and unstructured time, and it's counter to the always-on, productivity-driven culture that is prevalent in many parts of the world. So Nixon is doing nothing, being like Putty on Seinfeld. And practicing Nixon involves a couple of different things. It often involves finding a comfortable spot, choosing a place where you feel relaxed and you won't be disturbed. So it could be a cozy chair or even a park bench, or it could be lying in your bed. It involves setting aside specific time. So dedicating a specific time for Nixon, a few minutes, an hour. The key is to make it part of your routine. And then you let your mind wander. You allow yourself to daydream or think about anything and everything. There's no need to focus on a particular thought or a particular task. And you're also trying to avoid distractions. So you'll want to ahead of time turn off your phone, your computer, any other distractions. It's time for you to really disconnect and unwind. So when I think of that as being the description of Nixon, it is almost a version of what I like to do when I take a nap. I just lie down and I let myself drift. Sometimes it's more of a non-sleep deep rest, or yoga nidra is another name, where I do scan my body and go through relaxing different parts of my body. But other times I just lie down and let my mind wander. Often I fall asleep, but the point is not to nap, it's to do nothing. Now there are many benefits to doing nothing, so I'm just going to go through a few of them. First of all, it can help reduce your stress level. Just taking the time to do nothing lowers stress levels. It allows your mind to relax and from you to recover from constantly being stimulated. It's also known to help increase your creativity. When your mind is free to wander, it actually can lead to new ideas, creative solutions, and it can really foster innovation and problem solving. There is also an increased role for play. This Nixon, this doing nothing, can push you to be more curious at other times. It has been linked to better mental health. Regularly practicing it helps reduce anxiety and depression. It's really a break from the constant demands of daily life. It's also been linked to improving your physical well-being. It's really an opportunity to let your body relax. You are sending your nervous system signals that it's safe for your body to relax and release, which obviously makes it more comfortable to be still. Now, doing nothing can also help improve your quality of rest and relaxation overall. And so then these short periods become really restorative. It enhances your overall well-being. It promotes a sense of well-being by allowing you to just be in the present moment without any pressure to perform or to achieve. And finally, it can promote safety, which in turn can help you develop trust in the process. As you do nothing, you start to trust and to see that doing nothing is helpful. And this trust helps you let go of the need to be constantly doing something. And then you can be more vulnerable. Feeling safe creates a space where you can be more vulnerable with yourself, acknowledging to yourself it's okay to take breaks and not always be productive. So there's a lot of good in doing nothing. Really, we can even think of rest or doing nothing as the fuel for everything else that we're going to do. Now, what I encountered myself and what I have coached clients on previously is it seems straightforward enough to do nothing, but it can be hard to get started. I think if you're used to being constantly on, there is no off switch you can just flip. And if you do try to flip a switch, it can be very uncomfortable. Now, I know I've shared this before, but my husband is pretty good at Nixon. I've shared that he does his meditative activity of listening to music every night, which is not quite Nixon, but it's close enough in my books. He will just do nothing. He will sit out on the porch and I'll say to him, "What are you doing?" And he'll say, "I'm just sitting here." And truthfully, at first, it made me very annoyed. Like, what do you mean you're just sitting there doing nothing? I have a million things that I can give you to do, so stop wasting time. But I know I'm not alone in this, having those thoughts. How many times do we look at people doing nothing and think that they're not productive or are wasting time? Or maybe we're doing nothing and we think we have to pretend to be busy. Now, I do believe there's a happy medium, but sometimes the first thing we need to do, and certainly what I needed to do, is to reframe my perspective on doing nothing and reframe my perspective in general on rest. Rest is not a luxury. It is a necessity for our overall health and well-being. And you can think of it, if you need to think of it this way, as being productive in its own way, because it allows your body and mind to heal and rejuvenate. So for me, coming from Team Hyper, it was initially helpful to think I'm not doing nothing, but to actually think that rest is actively being productive for my well-being. It's kind of like I had to trick my brain into seeing it through a productivity lens, and even reframing it so I would not feel guilty. Recognizing that taking time off and resting is an act of self-compassion and self-care. It's not about being unproductive, but it's about respecting your body's needs. And it can be really helpful to help you develop this mindset to do some journaling about it. Write out your thoughts and feelings about rest and productivity. Sometimes seeing your thoughts on paper can help you process and reframe them. Then part of the reframing, as I mentioned, is self-compassion. Don't beat yourself up that you need to reframe rest. Speak to yourself with kindness and understanding that you would offer to a friend in a similar situation, telling yourself it is okay to need rest. We all need rest. It's normal. And that's part of that common humanity. Of course you need it. And of course it can feel hard and you can feel guilty if you're used to being in Team Hyper. Now, the next thing I had to do, and of course this is a work in progress for me, was to start small, like really small. A few minutes here and there. And if you go back and listen to my episode about building capacity, you will see that essentially you have to build the capacity to do nothing. Now, I think of how it is when I go on vacation. We were away for 3 weeks in the summer. Rarely do we go away for that long. And it was so, so, so good. And it made me recognize the need for extended rest and a change of routine. But initially on the vacation, I was taking a break. But every once in a while, I was checking my email. I was getting a few things done. I was keeping up with my messages. I was definitely more in a relaxed mode, but there was still some productivity and routine there. But as time went on, I slowly started to introduce more and more relaxation, slowly started to rest more and chill more. And by the end, I couldn't even tell you where my phone was. Now, initially, I would not have been able to just leave my phone. I had to gradually just spend time away from it. So we need to slowly become more comfortable, or as I said in the capacity episode, slowly add more color to our black wardrobe, if you listen to that analogy that I gave then. So starting small, maybe it's just 2 minutes, 3 minutes to sit and do nothing, daydream, and be patient with yourself because it may feel really weird, especially if you're used to being constantly busy. Now, the third thing that you may have to do is you may have to schedule in your Nixon time, or look for opportunities during the day to do it. Maybe it's in between your clients or while you're waiting for your kids, waiting for an appointment. Give yourself some guidelines. Every morning or every afternoon. And you want to start by trying to create a routine where you find a certain time to do it consistently so that you can help build up the habit and maybe try to do it a little bit more frequently. You likely will need to be very deliberate at the beginning. And I think self-compassion comes back here because maybe you think I shouldn't have to be deliberate. It should be natural for me, but it's okay to be deliberate. We're trying to create a new pathway in your brain to break the busyness and productivity habit. So we're going to have to be intentional. So allocate some time for nothingness and allocate this time for the rest and leisure. The next thing you can do is you can try pairing Nixon with things like nature. That's what my husband does. Try being outside. If you go way back, I did do a podcast on the benefit of being in nature, so you can check that one out. But being outdoors, being near water, being in green space has huge benefits for stress relief and your overall well-being. So doubling up with Nixon in nature. And now we keep stacking things, but we could also add movement in with nature and with Nixon. What about taking a walk where you just let your mind wander? No purpose, no music, no podcasts, but even just incorporating small thoughtful movements could work if you don't necessarily want to take a walk. You can practice activities like yoga or stretching or Tai Chi can help you stay in a calming state. And these are practices that can help you become more comfortable with being still and being present. You can also use mindfulness and meditative exercise to help you practice just being with stillness. Remember, we're just trying to add a little bit of color to your wardrobe. So while it's not truly doing nothing, it is moving towards doing nothing. Now, the sixth thing you can consider, again, not quite doing nothing, we're just trying to dip our toe in it, but doing things for the sake of doing nothing. So creative activities and hobbies. This is where like reading for pleasure, writing for pleasure, playing music, listening to music, painting, puzzles. So it's engaging in activities for the pure leisure of it. There's no purpose. There's no ulterior motive. You're doing it for fun. For example, I love to read and I love to read for learning. At any given moment, I have multiple books on the go, and while I do enjoy them and I do find that they're entertaining and really a source of leisure for me, I am learning. And there's nothing wrong with learning, but then there's a different kind of reading, the reading for the sheer pleasure. And I also love a good beach read. I love just reading some fiction for the sheer pleasure of reading. I used to read a lot of fiction. And then over the years, I've been leaning more towards personal development, but I'm starting to pick back up on my leisure reading, even when I'm not on vacation, because that used to be the only time that I did read, you know, leisurely over the last decade. Now, of course, there's a season for everything, but when you can do something completely for the sake of the enjoyment, the sake of doing nothing in that season, it's so beneficial. Now, another tip to consider while you're doing nothing is your environment. Now, part of my problem is often when I sit down, I'll see something that needs doing, some laundry to fold, something to put away, a form to complete. So really carefully considering your environment. Do you have a space that is conducive to do nothing? Lighting, scents, blankets. What invites you to feel cozy and relaxed? Now, this is one reason why I love my front porch. I'm jealous of people who have these oasis backyards. Rob and I dream to own a property with an oasis backyard. I think that's the attraction for many people of a cottage, a lake house, an ocean house, a farm. Often the environment is more inviting to relax. Now, of course, these houses may require upkeep, so that may not be the thing for you. But what about creating a place in your home for nothing? Now, I know for my husband, while he would love to have a big audio room, he has set up our main room. Our main room in our house is our living room and our dining room connected. And he has a dining room set up to just do nothing and listen to music. It is part of his space. Now, next, it can be really helpful to share with others your experiences with doing nothing. Now, I know in my Connections memberships, my clients often share with the community different ways that they do different things. And we've talked about how do you rest? How do you do nothing? And some people give great suggestions. And sometimes just knowing that other people are on a similar journey or have similar challenges can be incredibly reassuring. You can boost each other, support each other, and feed off of each other. Now, next, I want to encourage you not to resist feeling bored that can often come with doing nothing. In fact, embrace it. Feeling bored is actually a natural part of the process and can be beneficial. It allows your brain to rest. And while your brain is resting, it can actually spark that creativity that we talked about earlier. So try to resist the urge to fill the time. When you feel the urge to do something, gently remind yourself that it's okay to just be. Let the feeling pass without acting on it. So feel the urge, acknowledge it, and then sit with it. You can be very passive in your activities. Just allow yourself to daydream. Allow your mind to wander. This is kind of this mental rest. Or you can also engage in the sensory experience. Now, we talked about music, which can be a sensory experience. But you maybe even will want to go out and feel, say, the warmth of the sun or the breeze on your skin. I love taking a bath and feeling the hot water, the soft bubbles, the scent of the bubbles. So immersing yourself in a sensory experience is another way to embrace Nixon. And lastly, I want to encourage you to celebrate small wins. Acknowledge and celebrate the moments you successfully rest and do nothing without guilt. Even if you have guilt, celebrate these moments. This positive reinforcement can help you shift your mindset over time. So celebrate the tiniest things. Focus on how far you've come. Celebrate doing nothing. And remember, there's no one correct way to do it. There's no one right or wrong way to practice Nixon, at least in my books. The goal is to let go of the need to be productive and simply enjoy doing nothing. So embrace whatever feels good for you. Nixon, or doing nothing, is a very simple but powerful practice that really can help you reduce stress, boost your creativity, and improve your overall well-being. And as you incorporate it into your daily life, you are actually creating a healthier, more balanced lifestyle. So start small, be patient, and enjoy the art of doing nothing. I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.